I think the most frustrating thing in any sport is falling apart at the end of a game.
Totally. And it's demoralizing, and then it gets in your head, right?
Right. And when it happens over and over and over again, I saw Chuck Cooperstein tweet this out, and it's just jarring to read this because it doesn't make any sense. First off, the Mavericks are 40-29, yet they've lost 13 games in which they've led by 10-plus points,
bonkers,
most in the league. They're 2-10 in games decided by three or fewer, most losses in the league. They've lost 11 games which they've led after three quarters. Only the Spurs have more at 12. And as he said, they're still 40-29. They're an analytics nightmare.
They are so hard to figure because they appear to be just giving games away, and yet they are still a mile over 500, which is why all of this requires massive amounts of perspective, and I realize talk show hosts aren't great at that. So
we're impatient. I think fans are impatient.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was so disgusted, especially Friday night. Like, my kid and I are watching the game, and that little Apple TV remote.
Yeah.
After with 30 seconds left in OT when you knew it was finally over, and he like slams his hand down on the pause button. He was like, "I'm going to bed." And I was like, "All right, man, I feel you." And
yeah,
it was just a
welcome
bummer.
Back sports.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Like the first night that we get where we're really, really into something because you know it means a lot. And as we said on Friday, dude, that game was the game.
Yeah.
If you wanted to move anywhere from the 7th seed on up, you had to beat Houston.
Right.
And then it's over. Now you are the 7th seed.
Yes.
Right? And you are playing the Clippers.
It would seem. It would absolutely seem as much. And there's a lot of things as we go through this and we just try to think about, okay, what can happen differently? And I haven't looked this one up, but as we were talking about it, it does cross my mind that I would like to see Porzingis shots by quarter because he's absolutely now an imposing figure in these games and he does freaky, freaky things. But if I'm going to tell you that there's two games in every game, there's two components of every game and the second one is much, much, much shorter but much more important, I have to believe there is a certain way, and it looks like most of the splits pages don't do like by quarter. I'm sure it's easy to find, but I can't do it on the fly here. But I'm just curious, his shots per 48 in the first half versus in those final 6 minutes of a game, does he turn more and more into defense, offensive glass, and kind of a decoy? And I just think part of having another massive talent would be to try to get Luka a little better opportunities by not being the only guy that you consistently go to, except unless it's a kickout. Like, there are going to be kickouts all day for Seth and for Tim. I don't know that it's super efficient to use Kristaps that way in those moments because
I would like for him to be deeper, but
well, and I would just like for them to
play
off each
basket,
other in
I
a
mean.
Two-man game. And I know it's not going to be Dirk and Jet, especially in year one, and they're not the same players. And, of course, there's, you know, when you did Dirk and Jet, both of them could have the ball in their hands and kind of play off each other so beautifully, and they could both pick and pop, and they could do so many things, and that's why the Mavs were so money late in these games. But I think it's probably going to require a little more hands-on approach, and it's also going to require, you know, Luka to fully buy in to, okay, maybe my intuitive ideas are not going to always be the best.
Did you think after the when they were down by two and there's whatever, 3-4 seconds left, and he gets the ball down low, and he's 3 feet away from the basket, and he kicks out to Kristaps? I mean, I'm sitting there thinking, shoot over him. If you miss it, okay,
right,
fine. You're 3 feet from the basket. I know that guy had blocked one of your shots earlier in the game, or blocked a couple of shots.
Yeah.
Still, you're a magician down there. No one else is down there.
That's right.
It is you and him. Do something other than kick out and shoot a 27-footer.
Yeah, and, you know, Over everything, I'm reminded of our conversation of last week, which is, you know, what are your expectations for right now? Because I think regardless of if you want to get greedy and you want to make some noise right now because of the rarity of opportunities, you don't know when the next catastrophic injury happens or an ugly unforeseen divorce pops up on the roster where so-and-so just can't stand so-and-so and, you know, things happen. Sports are like that. You don't have 10 years when you think you do. In fact, sometimes you don't even have half that much when you say, oh, for the next 10 years we have CeeDee Lamb. Maybe. Maybe not. So you have it now. You have the planets aligned now. Tim Hardaway has not opted out at this point. You have all these guys here, but they are still one piece away. And that also is its own interesting conversation, Corby, of what would that piece look like? How would it best fit to take full advantage of those final 5 minutes of games? Because that's where this whole thing's determined. If you watched any games, even not including the Mavs this weekend, you know that that's the NBA game.
You would think that they're perfectly set up to win a game from the offensive end, that there's enough there that shouldn't be a problem. But I think right now it's all in their heads.
I do too.
You know, every single one of them, a lot of them are kids that hadn't been in this position a lot, that have been on bad teams. But still, you would think from an offensive standpoint, they could figure it out. And I think they will. You know, this is not going to last into perpetuity. This is part of the growing pains of being a really, really good team, no matter what the sport is.
Right.
But the defense, I would think that they're going to skew toward finding some wing defender that is more of a lockdown type guy. If they're looking for something.
Yeah, well, super important is part of winning that five possession each team game is being able to get a stop.
Think about it this way,
you know,
too.
Weird, the Rockets do get stops late in games, and nobody gives them a whole lot of credit for that because we're under the impression they don't even care about defense that much. Well, they do late in games somehow. They have very good clutch defense.
I can't take it. I can't take watching them. I forgot I was going to say.
I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. But I think that, moving forward, look, it's going to be really difficult coming up here in the next few weeks after the final six games is completed and you're sitting there staring at Kawhi and PG and Montrezl Harrell and Patrick Beverley, and these guys want to claw your eyes out.
Yeah.
And you just got to be patient with it, I think. You can't just think that, okay, this is a failure. What do we do? No, this is step number one.
Yeah.
Last year was just an introduction. This is step number one, and step number one is making the playoffs. Step number one is showing that you are competent enough to compete with the big boys, which they are. They can compete with really good teams.
It takes forever to get up several tiers.
I know, man.
Yeah, it takes forever because what Jordan set year seven, LeBron year seven or eight, something like that. I mean, to expect Luka to have this figured out or Luka and Kristaps to have this figured out 1 year in.
Even the Warriors.
Yeah,
people
think absolutely.
People look at the Warriors and they're like, what happened overnight? No, it didn't.
No, it didn't.
It took like 5 years.
The 2009 draft and the first one they won was 15, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that is, you know, you're looking at 2026 based on that template alone, and that was really rushed in a lot of cases.
And that's if you ever get there.
Well, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You're not promised anything.
It's so much fun to have these guys here, and now we all have to understand and remember the steps and the process that just about every guy has to go through, especially if they don't have a team with Tim Duncan, Tony Parker, and Ginobili around them. You know, Kawhi didn't have to wait that long. Okay, well, there's a reason for that. And you start to look down the list of all the guys who win much, much faster. Kobe. Well, yeah, okay, add Shaq and then Kobe, right? I mean,
right. There's
so many things to this that go into it. At the same time, they're really good.
Yes.
They're just, you know, I know this is really corny, and I couldn't help it. I had to corny tweet because I will from time to time, as you know. But Friday night, I'm just thinking about the very first Bulls championship video, which as a Jordan P1, I had to have on VHS, of course, because that's the highest quality technology of the time. But yeah, they used the Tom Petty song, Learning to Fly, to kind of explain those 7 or 8 years, because it's so hard, even for the best player on the planet, to understand that an individual special quality does not make you an NBA champion. It's figuring out a special team. It's, you know, it's just there's so much into it.
And think about it that way.
And a coaching change and everything, right?
That was like for you probably fifth grade to college.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which seems like a lifetime.
Absolutely.
You know?
And the fear is during those 8 years, a player gets so frustrated with failure that he wants to go find success thinking it's in a different city when in reality, just stay with it, man. You're building. You're building. This is all part of it, but it's painful. It's depressing sometimes. And you know, even as a superstar, you just want to scream that you can't figure out the secret formula, but that's all part of it in this great sport where, you know, you think a superstar makes all the difference. Yeah, but they got to go through the same ring of fire that everybody else does. That's all it is.
You got to be patient, and you have to convince that superstar that you are building and building in the right way.
Yes.
And that's the difficulty.
And don't piss him off.
Exactly. Hey, the odds are that Rick Carlisle is not going to be the coach here whenever they do win a title. That's just playing the odds.
It is playing the odds, yes.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.